this ceremony is officially enrolling the students in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. In this Sampradaya, we are not only worshipping Lord Krishna, but we are also worshipping Lord Chaitanya. This is the mystery of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Lord Chaitanya's Radha and Krishna combined. In fact, in this age of Kali, it is very difficult to approach Radha and Krishna without going through Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that in Vrindavan, the residents are very attached to Krishna Leela and discussing Krishna's pastimes, but actually it is very difficult to go that route to Krishna without Lord Chaitanya. But one who goes to Krishna, goes to Radha and Krishna through Lord Chaitanya, has an easy path. Therefore, the verdict of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita is, for one who remembers Lord Chaitanya, difficult things become easy, and for one who forgets Lord Chaitanya, easy things become difficult. Let us remember that. Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna combined. Now, in ordinary language, which is time-bound, because in the conditioned world, our thought processes are bound up in time and space. Therefore, the language we speak is also shackled by the restrictions of time and space. Therefore, we say things like, when Radha and Krishna became one. But actually, there's no time factor involved in Radha and Krishna combining as Lord Chaitanya. But just to give you some insight into the situation, it is presented in that way. When Radha and Krishna became one, that combination, that ekatma, is known as Sri Gaura Hari. That ekatma, eka means one, atma means self, doesn't mean impersonal Brahman. No. The real oneness that we are concerned with in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya is the oneness of Radha and Krishna as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is eternal. He is not a temporary appearance of Krishna. He's also not an expansion of Krishna. He's Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, just as Krishna is. Or Jagannanda Pandit, an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, said, if you want to say that Lord Chaitanya is an expansion of Krishna, fine. But then you also say that Krishna is an expansion of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, he's telling you, don't try to meddle in this with your tiny, time-bound, space-bound intelligence. This ceremony is, as we said, formally enrolling these students in the Sampradaya, coming down from Krishna to Brahma through Lord Chaitanya down to us today. This ceremony marks an official opportunity to go to the heights of spiritual attainment. Pure love of Krishna. It is something worthy of sacrifice for. It is something worthy of tolerance, patience, determination. We are hoping that those who are participating in this yajna understand the goal is worthy of sacrifice. The goal is worthy of tapasya. What is tapasya? Voluntarily accepting inconvenience for a higher purpose. Now, who can deny that even ordinary living in this world involves austerity, tapasya? Now, even you want to just live a material life, you must undergo austerity. Even you are exceedingly wealthy, still you must undergo austerity, because things in this world are never right. Since it is true you must undergo austerity, then why not undergo austerity for the best thing? That is Lord Chaitanya's invitation. Lord Chaitanya distributes Krishna consciousness and asks you, use your energies, use your intelligence, use your words, use your wealth to assist in the flood of love of God. Don't perform austerities uselessly. Don't accept inconvenience in this world uselessly. Maybe some of you can remember in your previous material days how frustrating it is to tolerate for things that are worthless. Now, it's a very agonizing feeling. I'm going through all this for what? I'm tolerating inconvenience. I'm tolerating mental disturbance, physical discomfort. Probably the most frustrating experience is when you have to tolerate someone in a relationship and you ask yourself, what's the point of all this? Because we have those nightmares of frustration from material existence, when we come to spiritual life, we may be a bit hesitant and think, okay, Krishna consciousness should be free of inconvenience, austerity. I should just float in bliss now that I have escaped the inconveniences of material life. Yes, you can float in bliss in Krishna consciousness, but part of that floating in bliss is the voluntary accepting of inconvenience for the sake of the Supreme Beloved. In other words, for the devotee developing on the path to love of Krishna, the inconveniences are welcome. You can see traces of this feeling in material existence, wherein someone says, I'll gladly undergo inconvenience for you. Yes? This feeling is not rare. Especially you can see it there with mother and child. I was watching outside. One little boy, 2 or 3 years old, he was running here and there, and his mother very patiently came after him. This is austerity. But what the mother is saying is, because we have a relationship, because I care for you, I will voluntarily, indeed lovingly, chase after you. Then the mother picks up the child, and the child spits up on the mother. But the mother takes it all as part of the loving affair, the loving arrangement. So this is an example of how we will willingly undergo inconvenience for the sake of someone else. We can't deny that we have this tendency. Now, Lord Chaitanya is inviting you, take that tendency and apply it to Krishna's service. You have that tendency to sacrifice for someone because you are originally part of Krishna. And in your original constitutional position, you're simply caring for Krishna's pleasure. That is the culture in Vrindavan. Everyone and everything is simply concerned with how is Krishna enjoying. The Brijvasis think like that. The Jamuna River thinks like that. The trees, the plants, the earth, the grass. Everyone is thinking, how is Krishna being pleased? Even during the rasa dance, there's not the slightest trace of selfish desire. All of Krishna's consorts are thinking, how is Krishna getting pleasure from me? How am I contributing to Krishna's pleasure? Once we get over our hang-up that pleasure means to strive for our own happiness, then our spiritual progress can become clear. Up to that point, it's a little bit of a struggle. In the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we have to rewire our circuitry. Because we've been conditioned for so long to think, I have to look out for me, I have to get my own happiness. And the purpose of the world and the purpose of relationships is all to contribute to my happiness. In this way, we can approach bhakti. In fact, in the beginning, most of us approach bhakti in this way. I'm tired of suffering in material existence. Okay, now I'm going to be happy. I choose Krishna. That is all right. That is intelligence. But we have to move beyond this platform. This sampradaya is giving the chance to move beyond relating to Krishna simply out of distress. Help me. Or spiritually selfish motivations. I want to be happy. Krishna, make me happy. That's all right in the beginning. And even those who are taking initiation, they may have these motives. It's to be expected in the beginning of your Krishna conscious career that you're not going to have the realizations of someone who has dedicated themselves for a substantial time. But those realizations are available to you. In other words, we want to make progress. We just don't want to participate in an official ritual. We want to taste the experience of Krishna consciousness that Lord Chaitanya is freely distributing. What is the number one ingredient in the recipe that will bring about spiritual progress in this most difficult time for spiritual advancement? You all know it's a difficult time. If you have a television, just turn it on for 10 minutes and you'll understand. Times are very difficult. Walk in the center of the city, past all the shops, and you'll see. Yes, times are very difficult. At every moment you're being bombarded through your eyes, through your ears. Stimuli trying to get you to simply dwell on your senses. What is the only thing this current civilization is offering its people? A chance to work hard to make money and then gratify your senses. That's the only thing being offered. There's nothing else. Into this great spiritual vacuum, we see the Krishna consciousness movement actually giving people a chance, first of all, to be human beings, and secondly, to be transcendentalists. So this ceremony marks two things going on at once, and that combination is very rare and inconceivable. The usual Vedic system is that first you become a human being, learn what human culture is, and then become a transcendentalist. But because the situation today is so chaotic, the situation is so devoid of higher values, therefore, in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna conscious movement, we have to do two mighty tasks at once. We have to train persons how to be a real human being, as well as train them in transcendence. This is truly amazing when you think about it. We are very happy that these candidates have such a golden opportunity. A golden opportunity given especially by the golden avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, you can consider Lord Chaitanya as an avatar, but if you want to be more precise, as Lochan Das Thakur sings in his song, Sabha Avatar Sar Shiromani Kevala Anandakanda. Lord Chaitanya is the essence of all incarnations. And what is the path that he teaches? Not Jnana Yoga, not Jnana Yoga, but Kevala Ananda Kanda, the path of pure bliss. And how do you enroll in that path of pure bliss? Kevala Ananda. You simply chant and dance. Now, who can object to chanting and dancing? Last night, you saw so many persons at Atma Yoga. They're chanting and dancing. They're doing the topmost yoga, whether they knew it or not. In any case, whether they knew it or not, they're having a good time. I think some of them are here now. They're watching now what's happening, thinking, is this where all the chanting and dancing leads to? They're going to be hearing the vows that these bhakti yogis, yogis in devotion, are going to make. And they may be shuddering a little bit. Oh, I promise not to do those things. I mean, it's not that I do those things every day, but a little dab every once in a while, you know. After all, we don't want to be fanatical and seal ourselves off from everything. But when you understand that there is higher pleasure, you just don't have time for the lower pleasure. That is true yoga. The misunderstanding is the yoga attitude means to be open to everything in moderation. Not to go overboard in any direction. A little bit of sense gratification to keep the system flowing. A little bit of metaphysical knowledge. No, real yoga, as described in Bhagavad Gita, is about staying away from the lower pleasure simply because you're so preoccupied with the higher pleasure. That is real yoga. Therefore, Krishna says at the end of the sixth chapter of the Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madhyatenam taratmana shatavan bhajate umam sanayukta tamamata. Krishna says of all the different types of yogis, who is the topmost? The one who is always connecting to me in transcendental love and devotion. That is Krishna's opinion. Now, in order to take Krishna's opinion seriously, you have to understand Krishna. So this ceremony also marks the formal enrollment in understanding Krishna. Just like, for example, when persons marry, they are actually declaring that we're going to dedicate our life to understanding each other. So this ceremony means, among other things, you're dedicating your life to understanding Krishna. What is so strange about dedicating your life to understand one person? People do it all the time. But now, we are dedicating our life to understanding the Supreme Person. And that Supreme Person, as Lord Chaitanya, is extremely merciful. Parama Karuna, Paham Dvijana, Nitai Gaurachandra. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have made the process of Bhakti Yoga extremely easy. But we think it's difficult because of attachment to very substandard behaviors. Therefore, it is necessary in this initiation ceremony to dispel the inauspicious, low-class, subhuman behaviors. Those who are guests, you should understand that when you hear these bhakti yoga practitioners make their formal vows to refrain from illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, those vows are not spiritual in of themselves. Those vows just make you a human being. What makes you spiritual? What makes you transcendental? The Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, they vow to chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day. And the goal is to chant Hare Krishna with attention, avoiding what are known as the offenses. All the offenses, Srila Bhaktivinoda Bhagavad Tagore says, can be easily avoided if you simply pay attention. If you're trying to be attentive in your chanting, you can easily avoid all the other offenses. Please, those of you who are taking initiation, and also we all can be reminded of this point, let us understand our number one priority in life is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with affection. It may take a whole life to develop that, but so what? So many persons spend lifetimes for useless things. Things that are valued very much by the world, but turn out to be so temporary. Just like, for example, when I visit South Africa, everyone knows Nelson Mandela, he's very much glorified. How he sacrificed like 30 years in prison and then achieved his aims. So people appreciate. This is greatness. This is a sign of an extraordinary personality. And after 30 years in prison, he forgave his oppressors and even invited his jail keepers to his inauguration ceremony, his president. Ooh, this is very wonderful. But even more glorious, much incalculably more glorious a sacrifice is 30, 40, 50 years, your whole life, just to hear clearly Hare Krishna. Nothing matches that achievement. So we're willing to put all our energies into that clarity of hearing, that clarity of chanting. This Hare Krishna mantra is the most powerful sound vibration. Often it is said, in ordinary existence, the most powerful words are, I love you. But even those words, regardless of what language spoken in, they cannot compare to the effect of Hare Krishna, especially when Hare Krishna is vibrated by an advanced bhakti yoga practitioner. And that advancement comes through parampara, through the chain of spiritual master and disciple. That Hare Krishna mantra, as vibrated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya, comes down through disciple succession. Mothers often say that the words, I love you, become even more intensified when their child says, I love you, mummy. There's nothing like this in the world. Nothing can compare. But even that is just a tiny drop of the ocean of nectar produced when you say Hare Krishna. The Hare Krishna mantra surpasses any ordinary expectations you have. And it surpasses even your spiritual expectations. That is why the Vedic texts say that bhakti is beyond even liberation from material existence. We had a program in Melbourne last week entitled Sage in the City, How to Become an Urban Mystic. And about 80 persons came. And at the end, they asked, one man, amongst others, asked a question. He wanted to display his knowledge of yoga, philosophy, Vedanta. Swamiji, why is it that the Hare Krishna movement teaches that you can obtain moksha just by chanting Hare Krishna? Your Srila Prabhupada says that automatically you will obtain moksha just by chanting Hare Krishna. Can you explain this, Swamiji? And he looked around to make sure everyone was watching him to notice his use of the words moksha. Yeah, he was Australian, so, you know, normally Australians don't talk like that. But, and naturally in the audience there were some, you know, attractive women, so it's a good time to show your prowess in the yoga system, whatever knowledge you think you have. So he made that question and looked around to see if everyone was taking note. So I explained to him, no, It is not stated in the Shastra or by Srila Prabhupada that automatically you'll attain moksha by chanting Hare Krishna. We're not interested in automatically chanting Hare Krishna like a parrot or a robot. We are interested in chanting Hare Krishna with affection, chanting Hare Krishna with voluntary concentration. Now, what the Shastra does say is that you can achieve liberation very easily by chanting Hare Krishna. It's considered an insignificant byproduct, something incidental. So incidental, the bhakti yogi is not even concerned with liberation, moksha, for material existence. It's one of those things that just, you know, happens. Just like you may go to a shop. Well, generally, shops in the first world don't do this. But if you go to shops in the third world, like if you're in Peru and you want to buy some alpaca sweaters, you buy a few sweaters, and as a little gift, the man will give you some little trinket. You know. Not much value, but it's just a, you know, courtesy for the customer. Oh, you have spent much at my shop buying a few alpaca sweaters. Here, take this for free. You may buy several coats, several sweaters, and he'll give you a little trinket, or else he'll say, he'll point to the cheapest items in his shop, maybe some gloves or something like that. Take what you like, take one of these. And it's not a big deal for you. All right, gloves, yeah, I'll see if it's okay, throw in the bag. So that's how bhakti yogis view moksha. Yeah, throw it in the bag. Whatever. They don't just throw it in the bag rather than just wasting time talking about it. We'll see if we have some use for it. Throw it in the bag, maybe, you know, who knows. So impersonalists, they have such a hard time believing this. Those who think that the ultimate goal is impersonal, to give up your individuality and become one with the whatever, they have great difficulty accepting. How can you minimize liberation, moksha? But yes, for the bhakti yogis, they poo-poo liberation. It's considered an insignificant byproduct of chanting Hare Krishna. And in fact, the topmost practitioners of bhakti yoga say, as Lord Chaitanya himself, the supreme bhakti yogi, he taught, I don't mind taking birth after birth in this world as long as I have bhakti, devotional service. That is the standard. Not that you are lusty for your own freedom from distress. You're hankering for relief from material misery. There's nothing wrong with hankering for relief from material misery, but bhakti is far beyond that. Bhakti is positive, pure attraction for Krishna, pure love. And that love is so intense and so all-encompassing that you don't even mind whether you take birth again, whether you have a material body again. You just want that devotional service. You want to please Krishna's senses through devotional service, and you'll go wherever Krishna wants you to go. Spiritual world, material world, doesn't matter for you. With that kind of mentality, with that kind of consciousness, you're actually already in the spiritual world. This is the topmost mysticism. Nothing compares to this. And this consciousness of topmost mysticism is brought about by the attentive chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So we want that our students here, formally enrolling, we want everyone to please take the chanting of Hare Krishna very seriously. Affectionately, not automatically like a machine. It is true, however, that because the Hare Krishna mantra is so extraordinary, it is non-different from Krishna, that even if you chant mechanically, you'll get benefit. But we don't want to take advantage of that clause. We want the topmost benefit of being restored to our original constitutional position so we can render service to Krishna without material motivation. is our goal. Therefore, we want to chant with affection, with attention, and avoid the offenses. All right. Where are they going to?
We're thinking of
something. All right. You'll have to give us some space. While we're clearing the space, we can also briefly mention we have some persons taking second initiation, Brahmana initiation. That means you're supposed to evidence Brahmana activities and Brahmana qualities, not that you just wear some threads around your body. The whole world is suffering because of lack of spiritual teachers. So the second initiation formally recognizes you as a teacher of Vedic knowledge. In the comments, very nice devotee from Moldova. Do you know where that is? It's to the west of Ukraine and to the north of Bulgaria, something like that. Between Romania and Ukraine. Well, I said Bulgaria. They may not even know where Romania is. One of these tiny countries. How many people live in it?
Used to be 4 million.
Used to be 4 million before everyone left.
Maybe people left now.
So he was in Wellington for quite a few years. Nice wife and child, and they come to Brisbane. He's always dancing happily in kirtan, inspiring others to dance. Which are your beats? I'm sure he'll be a very inspiring member of the Brisbane devotional community. All right. Indranath. Who is Indranath? It's Krishna, the controller of even Indra, as demonstrated in... Yes, Govardhan Leela. Harimal. Indranath. On the slow train, as we were speaking about, you know, last night and before. The main point is to get to the destination. So he's known about Krishna consciousness and been doing a bit of practice on and off for how many years? Since when?
15 years.
So you see, we are we facilitate all speeds of progress. Don't think that if you're not the type to immediately take advantage of what is the best thing, don't think it's hopeless. After 15 years, he's got it together now. What are the four regular principles?
Principles, Maharaj, no meeting, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and 10-16
years. Yes. What about responsible gambling? Is that the latest buzzword in Queensland? You see the signs on the buses, responsible gambling. All right, how about illicit sex when you care for the person? Or in a relationship that's more than a week old? Which are your B's? B's. All right. Your name is Garutama Das. Garutama means the highest guru. Who's the highest guru? Krishna. He is the prime instructor. Everything emanates from Krishna, including all knowledge. So Krishna is Garutama. He shows that as Chaita Guru, the Lord in the heart.
I can hear it.
Okay. The microphone.
Brisbane knows Elliot, and he tries to seriously apply himself. And last night we were watching his demonstration. Marveling how much work that took to execute such asanas, very intricate. He's been taken care of very nicely in the Brisbane devotional community, and particularly, of course, by Sitapati and Prabhu Satya. So he was practicing Hatha Yoga before he came to Krishna consciousness. So they took that ability and fully invested it into devotional service. That is our process. Not to deny or to repress, but to turn everything toward Krishna in the proper way. What are the four rules?
No meeting, no illicit sex. No intoxication and no gambling.
What do you do every day?
Chant at least 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra.
Alright. These are your beats? Your name is Prem Yogi Das. Just so you don't forget, what is the real yoga? Praying yogi, the yogi who is aspiring for praying pure love of Krishna. And who is the topmost praying yogi?
Krishna.
Gaurhari. Krishna doesn't have to attain himself except as Lord Chaitanya. The topmost praying yogi is Sri Gauranga, who demonstrates the yoga of love of Krishna. So as you do your other practices, don't forget what is the topmost yoga. So you know, by your name, you'll always be able to remember. All right. Chanel. No dandavas, please.
नमो ओम शिवाय कृष्ण साईं सर्व समर्थ देव मुक्तानं नमो चाय पुरुष संसार के चाय पुरुष साधक कृष्ण नमः संसार सदैव नमो ओम शिवाय कृष्ण साईं सर्व समर्थ देव मुक्तानं नमो नमस्ते साईं सर्व देव कृष्ण चाय मेरे के साथ बारे कृष्ण चाय पुरुष कारण
शिवाय That was a nice devotee who started her Krishna consciousness when you were 18. I met her in Christchurch when she was touring New Zealand, and she spent some time there. So our relationship began there, and then continued when she came to Australia. She pleases the devotees very much by her humble attitude, and we look forward to her growing healthily and happily in Krishna consciousness. What are the four rules? To do every day?
Chant at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mantra.
All right. Your name is? I'm sure you want one. Champak Gore Devidasi. Champak Gore, that refers to Lord Chaitanya, who is golden yellow like the champak flower.